Application is conditional use number 2025. The application of Rudy South, care of TNC Properties LLC. It's an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for boat sales, service, and storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 27.84 acres more or less. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application. Give the paper back. On August 27th of 2015, and deferred action. On September 24th of 2015, the Commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the Commission recommend denial of conditional use number 2025 for Rudy South, care of TNC Properties LLC, for boat sale, service, and storage, based upon the record made during the public hearing for the following reasons. One, the proposed use is for a 2.89-acre boat sales and service area with three permanent buildings and five pad sites for temporary buildings, a 7.34-acre service boat storage area, a 2.99-acre customer access boat storage area, and a 2.63-acre boat sales area. Two, the proposed use, while a conditional use, is a commercial use on this property. Three, there are no other commercial uses in this area of Robinsonville Road. Four, the proposed use is out of character with this area of Robinsonville Road. There was testimony during the public hearing from those in opposition to the project that all of the nearby properties are currently used for agricultural purposes or have existing or approved residential uses upon them. Five, approving a conditional use for a commercial enterprise such as this would create an unwanted precedent for establishing other business or commercial uses in this area where none currently exist. Six, the Commission previously rejected a multifamily section of the Love Creek Landing development based upon the reason that multifamily uses were out of character with the single-family residential trend of development in the area. The proposed commercial use at a boat storage and retail facility would be even more out of character with the single-family residential trend of development in the area. Seven, although boat storage and repair facilities have been approved in various locations throughout the county, they are typically in areas where other business or commercial uses already exist or where the development trend is not predominantly single-family residential, like the proposed location for this application. And eight, for all the reasons, it is recommendation that this conditional use application be denied for this location. Therefore, there was a motion by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Burton, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be denied for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 5-0. And that's all I have, Mr. Chairman. Okay. Or Mr. President, excuse me.
Mr. Moore, I guess if you'd read the short title.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for boat sale, service, and storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 27.84 acres more or less.
Pleasure, Council.
Make a motion to adopt the ordinance 2025.
Motion of Mr. Cole.
Get it on the table, I'll say second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver, to grant conditional use 2025. Mm-hmm. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
No, I vote no. And right along with the Planning and Zoning Commission and the very same reasons, they were, in my opinion, they were absolutely correct.
Mr. Cole.
I agree the character of the neighborhood is not sufficient to support this type of operation. It's got nothing to do with the type of business the man's running. I think he runs a very good business and got a great reputation. But it's just the location is out of character and is not adequate or appropriate for this use. So I'll vote no.
Charlotte.
And I, again, after reviewing the public record that's been presented thus far and looking at all of the elements, and I would concur with Councilman Cole that great business, and I think it provides a fantastic service to the residents of the county, and we have a need for it, for certain. But I think I would agree also that the location is not appropriate. And so therefore, I will go along with the Planning and Zoning's recommendation and vote no.
I think we all agree that it's a great business, does a great thing for the public. It's just this is the wrong location, I think, as Planning and Zoning has found. I agree with their findings and their reasoning, and I'll vote no. Motion defeated. Next, sir.
Thank you. The next application is conditional use 2026. The application of Christian Omar Hernandez Perez and Terry L. Martin. It's an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a home-based business for auto repair, detailing, and auto resales to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 1.982 acres, more or less. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on September 24, 2015, and did, after holding a public hearing, defer action for further consideration. On October 15, 2015, the Commission discussed the application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the Commission recommend denial of conditional use number 2026 for Christian Omar Hernandez Perez and Terry L. Martin for a conditional use of land and for a home-based business for auto repair, detailing, and auto resales based upon the record made during the public hearing for the following reasons. One, the property is currently zoned for residential use and has a home situated upon it. There are no buildings on the site where automotive work can safely and adequately occur, and there are no facilities for handling automotive fluids, disposal of parts, or storage of equipment or tools. Two, the applicants have been operating an automotive business on the property for some time. The use is spread all over the site, including the side, back, and front yards and driveways. Repair work is currently performed on the home's driveway and elsewhere on the property on grass and gravel. As a result, the property and the use that is occurring on it were found to be in violation of the zoning code. Three, in addition to the repairs that occur all over the property, it is not suited for automobile sales. An automobile sales lot is not consistent with the adjacent properties in this area of Route 9. There is no room for multiple cars to be displayed for sale on this property. Four, there is not sufficient room on the property for the buildings that would be required for the use like this. The residents, the tenants' own cars, cars being worked on, customer cars, cars for sale, and safe entrance and exit to and from Route 9. Five, there is no sufficient access for customer parking, and there was testimony that most visitors or customers park their vehicles on the shoulder of Route 9. Six, there are other locations nearby or in other areas of Sussex County that have the appropriate commercial zoning where the proposed use could be more appropriately located. Seven, while there are other businesses nearby that perform auto repairs and some limited car sales, these businesses have buildings and equipment to perform repairs indoors. They are licensed and have been in business for many years and have facilities for handling automotive fluids and vapors and provide for the proper disposal of these fluids and car parts. Eight, the record contains 38 signatures in opposition to the application and no parties appeared in support of the application. Nine, while the use may serve a need for residents of Sussex County, this is not the appropriate location for the current and proposed use. And 10, for all these reasons, it is recommended that this conditional use application be denied. There was a motion by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Smith, and carried unanimously to forward this application to Sussex County Council with a recommendation that this application be denied for the reasons stated. That motion carried 3-1, with Mr. Ross opposing the motion.
Okay, Mr. Moore, if you read a short title.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a home-based business, auto repair, detailing, and auto sales to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 1.982 acres, more or less.
Pleasure, Council.
I move for adoption.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Cole, to approve conditional use 2026. Questions on the motion?
Yes, sir. If I may, a quick question for you is, I know that we have a list, of course, of reasons why to deny this. At the same time, I have reviewed the record, but the question that I have, though, truly is... What's that?
No, I was just saying something. She said something.
No, but the question that I have, though, is, and he does not have the various buildings and things along those lines, but because it is a conditional use, we do have the ability to dictate what he does, correct, on this
correct.
Applicant. So within approval, one could be required to do things indoors, and if he doesn't comply, then he's out of business, basically, based on a conditional use.
That's correct. Could be. It's a very limited parcel. It's improved by a dwelling and a one-car garage.
Right. No, understood. So, okay, very good. Thank you for that, sir.
More questions? We'll take a vote. Mrs. Deaver.
I vote no, and it's based on the many reasons that given by Planning and Zoning Commission. I actually lost count. There were so many. It's just not an appropriate use in that area, but I have to say it's a much-needed service in the county, and then just... not in the right location.
Mr. Cole.
I'll vote no. And I agree with the planning and zoning recommendations on this application.
Charlotte.
Yes, and I shall also vote no per the recommendations of the planning and zoning. And thank you.
I also agree with planning and zoning reasons and recommendations, and I also vote no. Motion defeated. Next, sir.
In the next case, which was reference to change of zone 1769 and conditional use 2012, Ocean Atlantic Communities LLC, the public hearing before council and the commission were held together, and then the commission rendered individual decisions on each as it will be required to by council as to vote on each one. So I'll just read change of zone number 1769. Is the application of Ocean Atlantic Communities LLC to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 36.98 acres more or less for land lying north of Route 1 Coastal Highway, north of Tulip Drive within Dutch Acres subdivision, and northeast of the railroad near Nassau. In this application, bear with me. The commission did, in rendering their decision, there was a motion by Mr. Burton to move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone number 1769 for a change of zone from AR1 agriculture residential to MR medium density residential based upon the record made during the public hearing for the following reasons. If you're reading with me, it's on page 19. Mm-hmm. One, the site is located in the environmentally sensitive developing area according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. MR medium density residential zoning is appropriate for this area under the plan. Two, MR medium density residential zoning is consistent with neighboring zonings. The site is surrounded by land zoned MR medium density residential and C1 general commercial, a railroad, and a non-conforming commercial industrial use. The MR medium density residential zoning for this parcel is basically infill to match the surrounding zoning districts. Three, the site will be served by Central Water and Sussex County Sewer. Four, MR medium density residential zoning is consistent with the surrounding uses, which include both single family and multifamily residences. As a result, zoning this property to MR medium density residential will not adversely affect the neighboring properties or uses. And five, the proposed rezoning to MR medium density residential is consistent with the purpose of the MR medium density residential district, which is to provide for medium density residential areas which are generally urban in character or likely to become urban in character and where central sewer and water are available. There was a motion by Mr. Burton, seconded by Mr. Smith, and carried with 3-2 to forward change of zone 1769 to the Sussex County Council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons stated, and that motion did carry 3-2.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Moore, if you would read this short title.
Yes, an ordinance amended.
No, make amendments we want to make after you read the title.
This is the change of zone.
Change of zone, okay, I got you.
Okay. An ordinance amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 36.98 acres, more or less. For the reasons that planning and zoning approved as numbers 1 through 5 in the record.
Pleasure, Councilman.
Make a motion to adopt the ordinance.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Dever, to approve change of zone number 1769. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Dever.
I don't think it should be rezoned, and the property is full of problems. We've got issues with brownfield and the way it's designed. It's all squeezed in, and the entrance and the access point is very, very dangerous, and I vote against it.
Cole.
For the change of zone on 1769, Atlantic Communities, I believe it's, I'll vote yes to change the zone because I feel it's a infill, and the development is going to occur there under our land use plan. It's an appropriate spot for a change of zone.
Mr. Arnett.
And I think the reality is that it is a brownfield, and you've got a developer here who's an applicant who's looking to remedy that issue and find a solution to that situation. So as along with Councilman Cole, that particular area, and the recommendations provided by planning and zoning, I shall vote yes.
I also agree with planning and zoning reasons, and I'll vote yes for the change of zone 1769. Motion carried. Next.
The next application is also Ocean Atlantic Communities LLC. It's conditional use number 2012. Mr. Burton stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 2012 for Ocean Atlantic Communities LLC for a conditional use to allow multifamily dwellings in a MR medium density residential district based upon the record made during a public hearing for the following reasons. One, the site was previously approved for 152 multifamily units by ordinance number 1790. This approval included the entrance to the site via a shared entrance with Atlantic Concrete. Now, this application is for 147 units, consisting of a mixture of single-family, duplex, and multifamily units. The entrance has been relocated to Tulip Drive, a state-maintained right-of-way. Now, these are improvements over ordinance number 1790. Three, the mixture of single-family, duplex, and multifamily units is consistent with the surrounding properties, which also include townhouses, multifamily homes, and single-family homes. Four, the use will be served by Central Water and Sussex County Sewer. Five, the redevelopment of this site will enable it to be cleaned up through its enrollment in the Brownfields program, which will take it from an unused and overgrown dump site to one that is cleaned and put to a beneficial use for current and future residents of the county. Six, as part of the development process, the applicant will be required to comply with all DLDOT requirements concerning traffic and roadway improvements. Seven, the site is located in the environmentally sensitive developing area, and it is in close proximity to Route 1. This mixed residential project is appropriate for this location. Eight, with a proposed design, there will be 26 acres of open space, and most of the trees will be preserved on the site. And nine, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions, which ran from A to Z, or A to S, excuse me, and I can read them if you so desire.
I have a question.
We have a copy of that.
But you have a copy before you, it's correct.
I have a question about that.
And then there was discussion, Mr. Smith, Mr. Robertson, and then there was a motion by Mr. Burton, seconded by Mr. Smith, and carried with 3 votes to 2. To forward conditional use 2012 to the Sussex County Council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with those conditions stated. The motion carried 3 to 2, and by roll call, those two that opposed the motion were Mr. Ross and Mr. Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Deaver, you guys, well, let's have them read short title. If there's a motion to do anything, then we'll have questions.
Okay. Just bear with me a second, Mr. President.
Page 11.
I've got so many papers moving around here. Okay, here it is. Sorry. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for a mixed residential use with multifamily dwellings to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 37.26 acres more or less, for the reasons given at by planning and zoning as reasons 1 through 8 with conditions A through S.
May I call?
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, if we have any changes,
right,
we need to deal with that first.
Yes.
There's amendments.
Yes.
If we have any questions, then the questions on the full motion.
Yes, correct. First we typically would introduce it, and then after that, then we would amend.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Mr. Deaver, you have some questions?
Well, it was just, he said, he talked about preservation of trees, and I'm having trouble finding that on this thing. How was that worded? And is that that's not a condition? Is it?
That what I referenced was, let me find it. It was number 8, with a proposed design, there will be 26 acres of open space.
Right.
And most of the trees will be preserved on the site.
Most will be preserved.
And it doesn't say where and how many, because what happens if you grant approval, then you go back to the commission with a site plan, they would have to show us the tree areas that are going to be preserved. The areas that the trees that are in the wetlands that already exist will be left. They'll be left alone. They will be preserved for sure, but there will be other trees also.
Are we dealing with the condition or there now? Is that a condition? I don't think it is.
No,
that's not a condition.
No, it's not a condition.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Mr. Cole, you had an amendment, I think.
I'd like to. I believe there was some discussion about only single family homes, restricted to only single family homes. Was there something about that ever?
Yes, there was. There was a proposed amendment substituting condition 9. With 9 subparts under that.
Okay. In there, it does say, which number? Do you have a copy of that by any chance?
Yes, I do.
Which copy that references only single family homes only?
Yes, that was number 9 under N. All homes located on the west side of Black Hog Gut will be single family only. And I'll pass this down.
Okay, so just not the whole subdivision.
That is correct.
It was just on the west, which is what abutted the community.
I believe that's
right.
Where it abuts Dutch Acres.
Okay. I'd like to modify that. I guess we want to amend N.
That's correct.
And there is a lengthy numbers here that I've come up with.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
N doesn't relate to units.
I know it. I know it. Somehow it got
yes.
in there. But
A references the number of units.
That is correct.
That would be a better location if you're going to place numbers.
Okay. Well, what we'll do. Lawrence.
Page 19.
There is there may be some reduction of units, so we can go back and maybe reduce that number, but I'm not exactly. Do you have a site plan here, do you, by any chance?
Yes.
Do you? Could you pull one out here?
Yes.
We'll lay on the table here a minute. So we can get this pretty good. Mm-hmm. What my intent is to, I guess, do some modification, some amending to N, and then we'll do with units back where Lawrence's suggestion. Okay, Everett, so maybe you might want to
okay,
put a wording on that.
As you had indicated that possibly have the reduction of units in the one location.
Because in the conditions here, it doesn't say where those are going to be.
That is correct.
Right.
Just says that area along Black Hawk Gut in what I just passed down.
Okay, where are we right now? What do we want to look at?
South of Black Hawk.
Should we do N, work our way down N? N is construction site work, grading, deliveries of construction materials, landscaping materials, and fill on and off onto property shall only occur Monday through Friday. I think that's the same exactly as what we have on the our little iPad, right? Yes. Saturdays between hours 8:30 and on Saturdays between 8:30s and 5 o'clock. I wouldn't mind putting out on the table that we restrict all, that there be no Saturday hours, just because the traffic, if anybody's familiar with the traffic in that section of the area, there's no way.
What page, Councilman Cole, if you don't mind, which page are you on?
We're looking at N under
page
the condition.
On your iPad.
Page 20.
Page 20.
Thank you.
And it would be N. And what, in consultation with Everett, he came up with some suggested amendments. And as I work from the piece of paper they just passed out, okay, the construction site work, grading, deliveries, construction materials, landscaping materials, and fill on or off the property shall only occur Monday through Friday between the hours of 7:30 and 5 p.m. I would like to, maybe we adjust that to 6 p.m. And, but on Saturday between hours 8:30 and 5 o'clock, there should, I would just strike that totally, because it is an, it's in one of the worst areas. It's right there at Five Points, it's at the church, it's at the bridge, it's just the congestion there, there's no lights. Mm-hmm. By the time any crews got there, it'd be impossible to work. Anyway, I would like to strike, I'd put on the table that we amend that and take out Saturday hours altogether.
Okay, so on what I passed out, what I just passed out with N would be, it would read construction, site work, grading, and deliveries of construction materials, landscaping materials, and fill on, off, and to the property shall only occur from Monday through Friday between the hours of 7:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. There shall be no construction, site work, grading, or deliveries on Saturday or Sunday.
And that's just due to the nature of the area.
Right.
I mean, at a certain point, we've got to realize that that is the fact.
And that would be classified in what I just passed out as N1.
Okay. Now, do we want to vote on that at this point or keep on going?
I think it would probably be best to keep on going with anything in N.
Okay.
Before we go off of that, Mr. President, as we're talking on N, because the next sentence there talks about the applicant shall make every effort to establish. It's not a requirement. I'm wondering if that we should make that as a requirement to move off, you know, to have the temporary construction entrance via Atlantic Concrete and not Tulip Drive. I mean, it's make every effort. Well, that's a matter of opinion. I'm just wondering if we should make that a condition, a requirement.
And I believe what I passed out does indicate entrance will be provided through the property of Atlantic Concrete.
On the backside here.
Number 8.
On his handout.
Front. Yes, on number 8. Mr. Cole, would you like me to go ahead and just read those in? Would that be easier?
The next two, the number two, number two, and we'll interject if we need to.
No vibratory, that's vibratory, rollers or tamper shall be used during road constructions on the west side of the wetlands adjacent to Dutch Acres. Number three, no overflow parking shall be located on the west side of the wetlands adjacent to Dutch Acres that would face the rear of homes located on Tulip Drive. Four, a 20-foot forested buffer will be planted and maintained along the rear of lots in Dutch Acres bordering the site, except for lots 1, 2, and 3, which shall receive similar plantings and the maximum buffer permissible considering the location of the project entrance road. The buffer shall be planted within 6 months of the commencement of site construction and shall be planted with Leland spruce or similar trees 5 feet or higher, an appropriate fill-in shrubbery in order to create a natural screen along the rear of the Dutch Acre slots. 5, the developer shall support and assist the owners of lots in Dutch Acres in requesting DLDOT's approval of two-way stop signs at the intersection of Tulip Drive and Slipper Shell Way, the site's entrance road, It is understood that this item is subject to DLDOT approval. The developer agrees and commits to pay the cost of the stop signs upon the approval of DLDOT, provided said approval is granted within 3 years from the date of final site plan approval for the development. 6. The developer shall support and assist the owners of lots in Dutch Acres in requesting DLDOT's approval of a cul-de-sac at the southern end of the residential section of Tulip Drive, if desired by the majority of lot owners in Dutch Acres. It is understood that this item is subject to DLDOT approval. The developer agrees and commits to pay the cost of construction of a cul-de-sac upon approval of DLDOT, provided said approval is granted within 3 years from the date of final site plan approval for the development. 7. The developer shall support and assist the owners of lots in Dutch Acres in requesting DLDOT's approval of a fully operational traffic signal at the northern intersection of Tulip Drive and Route 1. The developer agrees and commits to the sum of up to $200,000 for the specific purpose of the installation of a fully operational traffic signal at this intersection for a period of 3 years from the date of final site plan approval for the development. It is understood that this item is subject to DLDOT approval. 8. A construction entrance will be provided through the property of Atlantic Concrete, and all construction traffic shall utilize that entrance only. Now, Mr. Cole, there was another number 9 here, and you asked that I change that. Would you want me to go ahead and
read my change?
Please. Okay.
Read it as the way I did.
Number 9, no units shall be constructed between the wetlands around Black Hog Gut and Dutch Acres. And number 10, any street and or driveway crossing over wetlands shall be subject to the review and approval of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and DENREC if required.
Okay. Is there any questions on that?
So that is your amendment?
That would be my amendment. That would be my, this.
So your motion would be to, you would move to amend N by substituting N1 through 10.
It's not on there. That's not the name.
The
two-way sign.
Lawrence, does it, come here a minute, does that number 9 that we just read, kind of, if you read that scribbling down there.
Wetlands and Dutch Acres.
Which is it? Constructed between the wetland around Black Hole and Dutch Acres.
Would the commission understand that to be this section here? All here.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wait, okay. Okay.
Okay.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right.
And then the minimizing of any taking of trees.
Wouldn't need to disturb that area if that's the case.
Well, yeah. Put some wording in the area should be left undisturbed because this Black Gut is a major watershed that feeds the Great Marsh and it's been pretty much destroyed upstream.
Okay.
And from this point down, it's still in its natural state, pretty good shape anyway. So the protection of that, I think, is important. So if any disturbance of the, so can we add that into number 9, I guess?
No units shall be constructed between the wetlands around Black Hog Gut and Dutch Acres, and that area shall remain undisturbed and in its natural vegetative state.
Okay, that'd be perfect. Thank you.
I need to see. This intersection of Tulip Drive and Slipper Shell Way.
I don't know if
you show that, Lawrence, on here, where this two-way stop sign, Tulip Drive and Slipper Shell Way, where that would be.
Is it?
Okay.
Oops.
Right. And where is Slipper Shell Way?
Is it Slipper Shell Way?
No, see, that's not Slipper Shell Way. That's across the highway.
No, it's at Black Hole Gut.
Yeah.
There should be a stop sign, probably a stop sign here and there.
That's not Slipper Shell Way.
There. I don't know what
no, it's Tulip Drive.
And oh, this says Tulip here?
Drive turns and goes into
so this is Slipper. We're thinking.
Slipper Shell Way is across the highway.
Across the highway?
Yeah. It's not even part of this development.
This says Slipper Shell Way, the site's entrance road.
No.
The site's entrance road could be here, the site's entrance road.
But it's called Tulip Drive too. Tulip Drive, I think, comes in off Coastal Highway and turns, she's saying.
Slipper Shell Way is across the highway.
Over here somewhere.
And they have a terrible time getting in and out, and it's called Slipper Shell Way, but not here.
Well, how did we come up with Slipper Shell Way?
I don't know.
Does anybody know where Slipper Shell Way is? There is a hand in the rear. It's up to the president. We could just maybe get a clarification if somebody knows.
Does somebody know where Slipper Shell Way is?
For the gentleman back there with gray hair, if he would come forward.
And just show us where Slipper Shell Way is.
Next to a guy with no hair.
Please.
It's a condo development.
Right. Could you show us somewhere on here, sir? Slipper Shell. So the next page might show some, let's see if it shows any better detail for you.
Where's our Google Maps?
Are you looking for the location of
this thing? Don't do two stop signs.
What's it called?
Do it right there.
What's it called?
Yeah. They reference Slipper Shell, but we don't know if there is such a thing.
Google it and it'll come.
This is the exist tool drive.
Right.
That's going to be extended to go back to the development.
Uh-huh.
The stop sign will be right there.
Okay.
So people coming out of the new development will have a stop sign. People on Tulip Lane will have a stop sign. So it's right here.
Right there. Okay.
So
but there's no Slipper Shell
so
Way.
So Slipper Shell Way is.
I think that's the name of the new road.
Within
the year. It's a crossroad to another development.
The name might have changed, but I think that was the name of heaven.
Okay, so Road A is.
So Road A. We're
Road
A
then. Yeah. We're going to call it Road A.
It's where Tulip Drive turns.
Right.
Call
it Tulip Drive, whatever.
So Everett, I guess in N5, it would read two-way stop signs at intersection of Tulip Drive and Road A.
Okay.
The site's entrance road. How about that?
That sounds good.
Joan
we're technical here.
Joan may be right.
I am right.
Joan is right. Everybody mark this day on your calendar.
Thank you, George.
We'll start celebrating Christmas and the day that Joan was right.
The last
all
day
in December. What a moment.
Okay, so then.
The celebrations in the streets.
You okay with that change on number five, George?
Yes.
Change the
yes.
Slipper Shell Way and make it Road A.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Road A.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. We now then.
That is proof she was correct.
Now I need a motion.
Motion to amend, to delete.
Amend the condition N to be N 1 through 10.
Yes. Delete what's currently there and in its place put N 1 through 10.
Yes, I got.
To delete. Get back in the screen here. To delete 9. N under conditions in its entirety and replace that with 9N 1 through 10 as read into the record by Mr. Moore.
Yes, that would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And do we want to adjust this slipper
well,
shell
we did
way?
That. We did that. We crossed off Slipper Shell Way and made it Road A. Yes.
Road A, okay.
That's safe. But it typically won't be named Slipper Shell if it's. Mapping and addressing is two names that are right across from each other.
Right.
Okay.
So I have a motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett. To, under conditions, to delete 9N as was originally submitted and replace that with 9N numbers 1 through 10 as read by Mr. Moore to the record. Questions on the motion?
Well, yes. 9N 1 through 10 will call for no work on Saturday or Sunday, is that correct?
That's correct.
As amended, okay,
yep.
I got you.
Yep.
Thank you.
No Saturday, that's correct. Any more questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes with the Planning and Zoning's recommendations and
on the amendment.
And the amendment, okay, I'll vote yes to change the amendment, to amend it, yes.
Mr. Arlett?
Yes, I shall also vote yes as amended. As currently presented.
I'll also vote yes to making the changes as we just read the public record, so motion passes. Now we need a motion.
I believe we need one more amendment because, as Mr. Lank properly pointed out, 9A refers to the total number of units. So I believe that should state then
Reduction of that?
Yes, reduction of the number. I'm not sure what that number is. We could state, add a sentence that this number shall be reduced by the number of units.
13.
13. Well, then that's.
The single family would drop from 43 to 30.
Or would we simply change, because 43, I believe, was the number before the N was put in.
Yeah.
Before, so maybe just take the 13 away from the 147?
Could do that. Because it's still a mixture.
Yes.
But you have done away with 13 single family units. You have to change both numbers, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you change the total number from 147 to 134 and the number 43 to 30?
I'm not sure because this draft did not reflect the 13, because they were originally proposed as multifamily units along that area. So this number, the 43, I do not believe reflected those being changed to single family. So if we just take out the total number of units, the 13 from the 147.
Why don't we just say that there shall be no more than 100, say 13 minus?
134.
134, being a mixture of single family homes, duplex units, and townhouses.
Yeah.
And we're being specific about where.
And we're just concerned about the total number of units.
Yes, right here.
You're taking out the number. You're not being specific about the number of units versus the other.
I'll let the Planning and Zoning Commission, the Planning and Zoning Commission would have the ability to just, if they didn't like what they did, they could work with the developer.
The number could stay the same as it's written because their application is for the whole acreage, even though they're not being allowed to use a portion of it.
No, I just want to reduce it. I think.
That's fine. No, I'm just saying that. It's easier to have the numbers being specific about, especially the singles. If you want to hold to a certain number of singles, then the multifamily and townhouses or the multifamily duplexes is just a number that would be reduced. The singles stand by the number that they have suggested as 43. Then you reduce the number of multis.
I don't usually like to tell a developer whether to build single family, duplex, or townhouses. I prefer a single family, but I would just still suggest we just reduce the total number.
Why I suggested that is if the commission had made the recommendation, the commission could amend it. Because the applicants come in because markets change.
Right, they might.
You got so many singles, so many multis, so many townhouses. Then they come in and try to switch the numbers. Commission won't go any lower on the singles.
Why wouldn't, yeah.
They're taking away from the multis or the towns.
Then I would reduce the multifamily units. So that we still get the single family homes.
If I understood you, Mr. Lank, what you're suggesting is we simply change the number of the total units from 147.
Well, if you change the total, what I first suggested was that.
Because they might come back.
The calculation is for the whole acreage, the way it's calculated. It was 147 units proposed for the whole acreage.
Right.
The design gets into what's single, what's duplex, what's townhouse. So if you leave the number alone, the number reduced would be, you just make sure that you maintain the number of singles. And they can switch back and forth between a duplex and townhouses when they submit the site plan. That way it doesn't have to come back to council a year down the road because they want to amend their design. Because it's a condition of the council, the commission can't amend it.
Yeah, well.
Mr. Moore, can you and Mr. Lank come with some kind of motion here?
What language would you suggest?
Well, first we have to get clear whether they want to reduce the overall density.
Yes.
Or do they want, okay, that took care of that problem. So they asked, you said 13 was the number, right? So you reduce it to 134.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first number. Then you need to decide whether you want to maintain the, say, 43 single family homes and allow for the total of duplexes and townhouses to be a number that they would submit to us with a site plan review. So it would be, the 13 reduction would be
I think what Mr. Cole had suggested, just going with 134 and then simply stating being a mixture of single-family units, duplex units, and townhouse units without any numbers. Is that correct, Mr. Cole?
But you could come in with one single and all the rest multis.
You could have a...
But what I'm saying is that, say, if you did 134 units being a mixture of...
43 single-family units in the balance.
91 duplexes and townhouses.
Yeah, the balance be...
Number still the same.
So leave the...
They come in and work out the way they want.
Okay, I'll do that. 43, we'll keep the 43 then fixed.
Right, so it'd be 134 units being a mixture of 43 single-family units, and the balance split between duplex units and townhouse units.
That would
right.
That'd be fine.
That'd be 91 of that mixture.
That would be good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Who's going to read that amendment?
There shall be no, that's in 9A, there shall be no more than 134 units being a mixture of 43 single-family units, and the balance between duplex units and townhouse units.
I'll make that motion. Can we amend?
Yeah.
Okay, motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Dean.
Mm-hmm.
Amend A.
Yeah.
To amend 9A by striking 147 as the total number of units and replacing that with 134.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And 43 single family units stays.
And a mixture.
And a mixture. So the numbers 46 and 58 disappear. Correct?
Okay.
Did we get... Mr. Moore, is that...
That is correct.
No okay. Hands around.
Okay. Yes.
We got that. Okay.
So we have a motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver, to amend 9A as was just read to the public record. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes to the amendment.
Mr. Arnett.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Now we need a motion to approve conditional use 2012 with the conditions as amended.
That
so
is
moved,
correct.
Mr. President.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver. Questions on the motion? We will take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yeah, I vote for it, yes, as amended. And I think that, there are, there's a lot of thought being put into these amendments, and I think it's appropriate. The I did notice that the Planning and Zoning Commission votes were split. And so I think we've done the right thing here.
Mr. Cole.
Yeah, yes, with the amended conditions. The this is an infill. Development is going to occur in the area. It'll help it blend more with the surrounding development, which is a mixed of single family and multifamily type of housing.
Charlotte.
I shall also vote yes. I think this is very appropriate for this location, and I think it's also very responsible from the council and as well as the developer to repurpose a brownfield and make it a positive thing versus that of a negative one. And there is a lot of thought, I know, regarding Del Dotton roadways, construction entrance, and the like. So I think it's a good decision, and I shall vote yes.
I also agree that it does get rid of a brownfield, which is a good thing at someone else's expense, not the taxpayers. And it's an infill. I think it makes sense in the area. And I think with the condition that we placed on it, it should be a good project. I'll vote yes, motion carried. Next.
Yes. The next applications were also combined in public hearing. There were changes in zone 1783 and conditional use number 2028. The application of Colton Venture DE LLC. The first application for considered separately is change of zone 1783, the application of Colton Ventures Delaware LLC, and ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 14.79 acres more or less. Bear with me a second. In reference to this application, on page 26 of my report, Mr. Ross stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone 1783 for Colton Venture DE LLC for a change of zone from AR1 agriculture residential to MR medium density residential based upon the information contained in the record and for the following reasons. And in your report, there were six reasons And that motion by Mr. Ross, seconded by Mr. Smith, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 4-0.
Okay. Mr. Moore, if you'd read the short title.
An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 14.79 acres more or less, for the reasons given by planning and zoning numbered 1-6.
A pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption of condition use 2028.
Second.
Well, she had a
Well, we had to get the motion out here first.
Okay. Correct.
No questions. Do we have a second? Okay, we have no second, so it
Okay,
this is change of zone.
I understand.
We need a second to get on the floor to talk about it.
Second.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Arlette, second, Mr. Cole, to approve change of zone 783. Question, Mrs. Deep.
I listened to the hearing, and I heard a lot of complaints and talk about from the neighbors who right around it. There's so much flooding and just water everywhere sometimes. Are these homes going to be built, like, are they going to be elevated?
I can't say until we see the final site plan.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember that being an issue. There was drainage questions raised more than it was a flooding issue.
No, I heard flooding from the neighbor, the first woman who testified.
The biggest concern of the opposition was access, because there's two mm-hmm. designated accesses that serve from a road that's privately maintained for Bayville Shores.
I understand.
Right.
But my concern is that there was so much trouble or problem managing water in that area. And I guess we have to wait and find out whether these homes are going to be elevated or not. So I guess that's my answer. We have to wait and find out. Hmm?
Well, we wouldn't know until, well, in the design of the units, if it's an issue of a flood zone,
right,
they would be elevated and have to meet the criteria required by the flood zone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
If it's the construction technique, whether it's on piling or whether it's on foundation,
yeah, okay,
it depends on the type of flood zone that it's in.
Well, I just wanted, for the record, I wanted said
no,
that
fine.
I really am concerned about building these developments. One man from one community said they call his community the swamp, and that's right next door to this community. So I get concerned about where we're building.
You have that map real quick to refresh your memory? I hate to do that, but just to show us one more time. Just to show us what they're proposing. Okay, that'd be good. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. good.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And in here was where the wetlands are. Map somewhere. Let's see where it says. It shows where the wetlands are.
I understand. I believe the wetlands are going to be posted,
is that
right?
Well, we should have something showing where the wetlands are in relationship
to things. But Mr. Lank, Mr. President, may I?
Yes, sir.
While we're having this open dialogue, Mr. Lank, just for again, I mean, DENREC will stipulate as far as, I mean, they'll have an input regarding that. Is that not correct?
Well, county does. We have jurisdiction over flood issue that relates to the FEMA regulations.
Right.
The Sussex Conservation District, through
right.
DENREC's authority, would also be involved in the design
right.
of the project as far as stormwater issues. County engineering is also involved as it relates to sewer water and the way the streets and parking areas would be improved.
So, Councilwoman Deaver, valid concern, but there are pieces in place that will address that concern.
Right. I'm just trying to read the report. There was a surface water ponding was what reference runoff, drainage and then runoff and stormwater management issues were some of the things addressed by the opposition. And then the opposition related to the ones that spoke, there were two parties spoke in opposition.
Mm-hmm, but they had a lot to say.
And I believe they represented their HOAs.
Yes, they represented a lot of people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there's a, is there a pond in the center of this thing?
The, well, the design would, is there now?
Is there now? I'm looking at these flood zones. It looks like it's got some like odd-shaped white thing. Or is that just a higher, is it like an island or with uplands? I guess that's the uplands.
No, there's a series of three wetland areas on this site that's being left undisturbed, and then the design it goes on all the uplands.
Yeah, let me see that map. These maps are
the same thing.
Let me just look at that real quick. Okay, there. Okay, that's why they. Okay, that's why the design is the way it is. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Any more questions on the motion for change of zone? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
I vote yes. The commission recommended approval and gave a number of reasons for that. I vote yes.
Cole?
Yes, I'll vote yes.
Mr. Arlett?
I shall also vote yes per recommendations of planning and zoning. It is very appropriate and as a is similar to the surrounding area as well.
I also will agree with planning and zoning's reasons for recommending change of zone and vote yes, motion carried. Next, Mr. Lang.
Yes, thank you. This is the application for conditional use number 2028, Colton Ventures, DE LLC. It's an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 14.79 acres, more or less. Mr. Ross stated in making the decision on this application that he would move the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 2028 for Colton Ventures DE LLC for a conditional use to allow multifamily dwellings based upon the information contained in the record. And for the following reasons, which were reasons numbered 1 through 7, and conditions 8A through O. And there was a motion by Mr. Ross, seconded by Mr. Smith, carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried unanimously 4-0.
Okay, Mr. Moore, very short title, please.
Yes, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 14.79 acres, more or less, for reasons 1 through 7 as given by planning and zoning and their conditions numbered 8A through O.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, second. Mr. Arlett, second Mrs. Deaver, to approve conditional use number 2028 for the reasons and the conditions as stated, 8A through 800.
I wouldn't mind making an amendment to the hours of operation. Can we consider that at this point, possibly?
Well,
before
we,
I know we
certainly can. But you want to make a motion to do that? Sure.
Well, no, I was just going to say it looks to me when you look at M. Again, most of the complaints I'm receiving are about work occurring at certain times and all this other stuff and Saturday. So they only had hours of Saturday from 9 to noon, which is hardly, by the time you get set up, it's not even worth it. And again, we're in another really area that's impacted by traffic in seasonally and actually year-round almost nowadays. But what I would suggest is they're Monday through Friday hours of 8 to 6. I would recommend 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday.
And no hours Saturday.
And then no Saturday hours.
Okay.
Because I just know what a Saturday, you know, is like, and 3 or 4 hours of work doesn't, it's hardly the time you get set up, you're shut down. So I'd be willing to let them work longer because 8 o'clock is late to get started construction.
All right.
I have a quick question.
Let's back up here a second. Let's back up. Mrs. Deaver, if you will rescind your second and you rescind your motion.
Yes, I will.
We'll go back to deal with the amendment.
I shall rescind, yes.
Okay, you too?
Oh, I
should have done that.
I know that.
So, Mr. Moore, have you got his proposed change to M?
Yes, you would amend condition M to read, construction, site work, grading, and deliveries of construction materials, landscaping materials, and fill on, off, or to the property shall only occur Monday through Friday between the hours of 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. with no hours on Saturday or Sunday.
That's a motion.
That would be
however.
Do we have a second?
Go ahead, please.
Second, Mr. Deaver, question.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
So, quick question. This area, I mean, it's, 2 miles from my house. Not very far, wrong along 54, and I would concur with you in season. However, off season, it's a non-issue. I mean, unlike whereas we just voted, you know, on the one up in Lewis, I think you mentioned 7:30. We just voted on that one, 7:30 to 6. This you just proposed 7 to 6, but again, off season is a non-issue down in this area.
But on season we had testimony that on.
Well, I'm not refuting that.
It's impossible.
But the verbiage we is proposed is not including off season. It's just year round. So I think we should specify. We could, you know, Memorial Day, Labor Day. We could perhaps add more language to that. But again, you know, in the off season, it is a zero issue along this corridor on 54 off season. And but I'm also curious 7 versus 7:30, which was up in Lewis. So there's a difference there, which I'm not quite sure if you realize that or not, but. I'm just wondering.
I think we just extended their hours. What were they?
On which one?
Up at Lewis.
You went to 7:30.
Right.
7:30. What was it proposed?
Eight.
Okay. No real reason other than seven. I was being generous here. I think 7 o'clock is appropriate in this area because again, it doesn't have the same traffic concerns as the Five Points area. I mean, I recognize that. So I thought, you know, 7 to 6. Is being generous, and I know when it comes to construction, 3 hours on a Saturday is
sure
is hardly worth it. So they get an extra 5 hours from my recommendation as opposed to the 3 hours on that one day.
However, I think one other thing to add to
it's
this
an enforcement issue. It gets difficult to
no, I know that the one we just voted on up Lewis. There's really no immediate cross. You know that. The water there, I mean, there's really no surrounding residents. Here there is. So I think 7 a.m. is...
Too early?
I really do.
Residents.
I mean, okay, if I live there, hearing... Well, I mean...
I don't disagree with you.
So my point, though, is I think we should take that in consideration. So I really think we really should just leave it as it is, 8 to 6, but allow it to occur in the off season. I think that would be perhaps the compromise of sorts. 7 a.m., I think, is... If I'm from there hearing banging, I want to sleep in... They're preventing me from doing so.
We could also compromise at 7:30 and just split the.
We could do that too. We could do 7:30, but add the off season hours.
When you say off, so what do you want to do in off season?
Well, I mean, I think they should be able to work on Saturday too. I guess is my point.
Like I say, you bring that up. So I thought you were trying to
Saturday, that. Because again, the issue was traffic, and there is no traffic issues in the off season on a Saturday.
Define off season.
I would say before. Before Memorial Day and after Labor Day.
There's some big weekends before it.
Before Memorial Day and after Labor, but not on a 54 corridor.
Okay.
I mean, it's truly, it's not like Route 1 corridor, not like Lewis, it's different.
Okay.
I know we're splitting hairs here,
well,
however.
That's what I say, I'm not gonna.
I'm very familiar with the area and I think it's nobody will have an issue with that.
So you need to withdraw a motion in a second so you can change it.
We're going to withdraw everything. I got it.
Strike.
Let's start
over
again. Sorry about that.
let's hear the proposed amendment to 9, or is it 9? 8.
8M.
Let's hear what you want to do.
Construction, site work, grading, deliveries of construction materials, landscaping materials, and fill on or off the property shall occur Monday through Friday. Hours between 8 to 6 p.m. and on Saturday between hours of 9 a.m. and noon during the off-season which would be from September 30th.
Labor Day, Memorial Day. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, let's just say, I'd say September 30th to May 1.
Okay.
With no work on Saturdays or Sundays.
Between May 1 and September 30th, there will be no Saturday hours.
Okay.
And it's...
Mr. Lang, you got it written down?
No.
Oh, okay. Mr. Moore, you got it written down?
I think it's close enough.
Okay. Well, one of you two read what you have.
Okay. Construction site work grading deliveries of construction materials, landscaping materials, and fill on, off, or to the property shall only occur Monday through Friday between the hours of 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Saturday between the hours of 9 a.m. and noon between May 1 and September 30th. It's just the opposite. Got it backwards, yeah. Yes. Yep.
He gets paid by the hour, that's why.
That's right. We're delaying it intentionally.
That's fine.
I had originally written between Memorial Day weekend and Labor Day weekend with no hours on Saturday or Sunday between Memorial Day weekend and Labor Day weekend.
Well, we changed that from May 1st to September 30th.
Yeah, that's the adjustment.
Okay.
Easy to work with there.
All right.
With no hours on Saturday and Sunday between May 1 and September 30th.
There you go.
The Saturday hours the rest of the year from the hours of 9 a.m. and noon.
Okay. All right. We're going to read this one more time, and we're going to take a vote on... We got the motion to the amendment. Mr. Cole, is your amendment?
Yes.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Arlette. We'll take a vote on the amendment, and we'll go to the next one. Mr. Moore.
Okay. Construction site work grading deliveries of construction materials, landscaping materials, and fill on, off, or to the property shall only occur Monday through Friday between the hours of 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. with no hours on Saturday or Sunday between May 1 and September 30th. The rest of the year, the hours on Saturday is between 9 a.m. and noon with no Sunday hours.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for the amendment. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, I think it's a very good idea. Thank you, Mr.
Colton.
I'll vote yes. It recognizes the fact that we have traffic issues in certain part of the county, and that this will reflect the council's observance of that and knowledge that we need to, be adjusting certain construction hours. So, yes.
Mr. Arlette.
I shall vote yes.
I also vote yes. Now then, we need a motion to approve conditional use number 2028 with the conditions as amended.
Make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Arlette. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, I'm going to vote for it. Planning and zoning voted for it, and I'm including the amended conditions, and I'm going to have to depend on the fact that the county has control over the whether we build in flooding areas or houses should be elevated, but because the county does have, that's not really part of my vote, but I vote yes.
Cole.
Yes, with the conditions and planning zoning recommendations.
Mr. Arlette.
I should vote yes as well.
I also agree with the reasoning, and I think conditions as amended. I'll vote yes. Motion carried.
Right.
Mr. Moore, any proposed zoning ordinances?
There are none.
Council members' comments. I'm having comments.